Welcome back. This is Charles Cook here at Cook Baxter, and today it's the Immigration Hour. We've been doing this podcast, at least I've been doing this podcast for, my gosh, close to 15 years. But the last 2 years, I have slacked off because we have been so crazy busy, and I have not been paying attention to the process and getting the information out there. So I want to get back to the Immigration Hour. We will occasionally have guests here, but today something came up that I thought was really, really important to talk about, and that is a new bill introduced in the House of Representatives called H.R. 2. Now, it's symbolic that it's the second most important bill that the new GOP House has passed. Oddly enough, it wasn't introduced in that order. They must reserve that number, but it was introduced on May 2nd. And of course, they got Mario Diaz-Balart. They had to get the token Latino in the GOP to submit this bill to kind of just send the message: hey, even Latinos want border security. This bill is called the Secure the Border Act of 2023. You know, like every bill that is introduced, the first thing they have is definitions. Now, this bill has eight different sections. It, of course, has a definitional section divided in Division A, which is called Border Security. Title One is Asylum Reform and Border Protection. Title Two is Border Safety and Migrant Protection. Title Three is Preventing Uncontrolled Flows in the Western Hemisphere. Title IV is Ensuring United Families at the Border, which is about keeping families in jail together. Protection of Children, which is sending unaccompanied children back home. Visa Overstay Penalties, Title VI. Title VII is Immigration Parole Reform, which is keep everybody in jail. And then Title VIII is Legal Workforce, which is all about employment verification. It has nothing to do with actually increasing legal immigration. No surprise here at all about this, but let's take a look at this. The bill itself is around 213 pages. So when you hear Republicans, oh no, you got to read the whole bill. I'm going to guarantee you that none of these guys that signed on to this bill have actually probably read it. Diaz-Balart, McClintock, Green of Tennessee, Jim Jordan, GYM, Higgins of Louisiana, Biggs of Texas, Carter of Texas, Calvert, and Moran. So the table of contents is really interesting because it just kind of gives you an idea. It's called Secure the Border Act. That's what it's called, Secure the Border Act. Do they define the word secure? That's my first question. If it's the Secure the Border Act, what do they define as a secure border? Now, they use the word operational control. The operational control, which is given meaning in the Secure Fence Act of 2006. Well, what is the Secure Fence Act of 2006? What is that? That was passed when George Bush was president. He signed it into law. And within the act itself, they say that Section 2B defines operational control. Right, Section B, okay, so what is that? What is operational control? Let's take a look at operational control of this. Let's see, operational control, that's what the Secure Defense was designed to do, of the border of land and maritime. So what does it mean? The term operational control means the prevention of all unlawful entries into the United States, including entries by terrorists, other unlawful aliens, instruments of terrorism, narcotics, and contraband. So the definition they have given for operational control is not only just unrealistic, it's just never going to happen. There is no big bubble around America with guards every second with guns pointing out. That presumptively would be operational control. And Congress has never authorized that. And frankly, that's not the America you and I live in. That sounds suspiciously like East Germany. Suspiciously like East Germany. Operational control. So the definition of operational control is a pipe dream. It's a pipe dream. Yet that is the definition used for everything within this bill. So, of course, the bill starts off with border wall construction, not less than 7 days after the bill has become law, which it will never become law, by the way. They shall resume construction of the wall. Not going to happen. Told them to use all the materials, all the money they had before, which, of course, they didn't allocate enough. Complete tactical infrastructure and technology, not less than 90 days after the wall has been completed. Okay, shall submit appropriate correctional committees and implementation plan for construction of 200 miles of such wall, which is weird. I thought they were constructing the whole wall. Detentions. So in the detention section of this bill, it says that apparently they can detain anybody they want to. Strengthening barriers on the southern border. They want you to put walls, test design, physical barriers, fencing and road improvements. Wow, they've got literally every piece of jargon you can possibly imagine in here. Agent safety and carrying it out. We're going to ensure that agent safety is paramount. All right. They've got lots of big words in here, but no plan. Is it come up with a plan? All right. Not less than 6 months after the act, the commissioner, presumably of the Customs and Border Protection, will submit appropriate committee a strategic 5-year technology investment plan, because of course Republicans love spending money. Let's see, they got a whole bunch of criteria for that. They've got the Border Patrol of Work Technology Management Program. They've allocated $100 million over the life cycle to acquire these things. I don't know what pipe dream they're living in. That's not even close to enough money for anything. Technology upgrades for the Border Patrol. All right. Border Patrol personnel may authorize $100 million to provide retention bonuses so they don't quit because it's a sucky job. So they get a bonus if they commit to 2 more years to working at the Border Patrol. Sounds like a okay. Not less than, let's see, not later than 2025, so then the commissioner shall hire and train a sufficient number of Border Patrol agents to actively have 22,000 full-time Border Patrol agents. They can't even meet the Kramer criteria to get Border Patrol agents. Let's see, Anti-Border Corruption Act reauthorization, because the agents they're hiring are corrupt, apparently. In order to work at Border Protection, they shall waive the requirement that they have prior law enforcement experience. Yeah, I'm sure that will help getting rid of corruption at the border. Let's see, supplemental commissioner authority. So this is basically trying to beef up the Border Patrol by hiring veterans. I think they've had enough of military operations that are leaving the military. Let's see what else they got here. Operation Stone Garden. There is established in the department a program to be known as Operation Stone Garden, under which the secretary, which is DHS secretary, acting through the administrator of CBP, shall make grants to eligible law enforcement agencies through state administrative agencies to enhance border security. Basically, hire Texas, Arizona, and California to be additional Border Patrol agents. Oh, my God. There's no nightmare waiting there to happen. I'm sure New York State will jump right on that for the northern border. This is the wet dream of the governor of Texas. And they authorized $110 million for this. I don't know if you know it, but $110 million just over the course of a year for salaries for people working at the border, maybe that's a few hundred people. Maybe it's an unrealistic nothing burger. All right, they're going to increase more flight time of unmanned craft at the border to help in enforcement. Well, this is all of this is laudatory. They want to make sure the border's harder to come by, but this doesn't solve the problem. Let's see if any of the bill besides throwing money at the border. Oh, they are going to start collecting DNA at the border. All right, so they're going to start getting DNA. Let's see. They're going to eradicate narcotic drugs. Yeah, that's going to happen. Let's see. It's going to require the Border Patrol to publish operational statistics, which they already do. Let's see what else they got here that's really interesting in this bill. It's just the first part. They've so far 60 pages into the first part and not really fixing anything. All right, they're bringing back iDent. iDent is the automatic biometric identification system that Border Patrol has been using forever. Let's see, they said they get some funding for that. Let's see what else they got here. Prohibition against any COVID vaccine. Yeah, because we definitely want our Border Patrol agents not vaccinated. Let's see what else we got. Designation of Mexican cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. Be honest with you, I don't really have a problem with that. If you tweak the bars on terrorism within the INA, because a lot of these cartels operate in the context of forced activity, and yet forced activity is a bar for immigration. But I'm sure this bill does not do that. But they've got a list of. Looks like 12 cartels listed here that are now going to be terrorist organizations. GAO study is going to get more money to spend at the border to tell about reports, lots of reports that are offsetting. Let's see, report to Congress on this. All right, okay. Now, so the first 70 pages of this bill are about throwing money at the border to see what sticks. I think we've tried that, and it's been wildly ineffective. But, you know, if you've got money to throw away, great, throw it away. Hopefully you'll also increase the debt limit if you're doing that. A little funny there. All right, so part B, so title one, asylum reform and border protection. All right, so this is what this is, and we're going to probably take the time next week and go through the INA, but basically they take out a lot of information. It's a bunch of insert, take out, put in into the current law. And without the current law sitting by, you don't really know what they're talking about. But they spend a few pages, really, really importantly, basically limiting asylum. That's what they're doing. So credible fear interviews are now amended. So currently, if there's a significant possibility that the person is could be persecuted, they insert this: taking into account the credibility of the statements made by the foreign national and other such facts known to the officer, the alien more likely than not could not establish asylum. That is the standard for, by the way, a different form of relief, withholding of removal. So they're going to make credible fear basically the standard for getting asylum, and basically saying, If the Border Patrol agent, or in this case, the asylum officer, doesn't think you established it, you're gone and you're never getting asylum. And that's going to make denial rates a lot higher for this. Asylum eligibility basically is eliminated. Those that arrive at the border illegally. Okay? They have to arrive at a port of entry. They can't just arrive illegally and apply. Which lets them then control asylum. So if you come across the border and say, I want asylum, you can't get asylum anymore. There are more bars to asylum added in here, including if you've got a DUI is now in here. One offense for driving while intoxicated or impaired, you're barred. And every domestic violence, crime of domestic violence, any injury to anybody. So lots, and this is also they want to add in a regular immigration bill to make immigration harder. But that's all in here. They redefine particularly serious crime, which includes a DUI. All right. Interpol red notices may now constitute reliable evidence they've committed a crime, which is insane because Russia abuses red notices like crazy. That's an insane thing. Stalking, battery or extreme cruelty. Any act of violence is now barred, which is simple battery, which is not a bar under current law. You've got lots of misdemeanors that are now barring people from asylum. Employment authorization. An applicant for asylum is not entitled to employment authorization, but may be applied. So they're taking away mandatory grants of it. You may be applied for it, but not less than 180 days after filing for asylum. That's the so basically making it harder to get a work authorization. Each grant shall be valid for 6 months instead of a year. And at the end of 6 months, if you don't have your denial, you don't get any more work authorizations. No renewals if previously granted that and case was terminated for any reason. May not grant EAD if you're ineligible for asylum. Wow, this is crazy. There's a new filing fee for asylum. So we really, this is a complete rewrite and making our asylum laws a joke, to make them a joke. And this is really caused really by USCIS failing to do its job. If CIS had done its job properly and had feed up and actually properly adjudicated the time adjudicated case, these wouldn't be issues because you'd be processing asylum cases rapidly. But USCIS is to blame for Congress going overboard here. There are Democrats that are going to agree to this, you know, just FYI. So in order to determine asylum eligibility, the Congress now steps into what a particular social group, and that says the Secretary of Homeland Security shall not determine that a person is a member of a social group unless the person articulates on the record, so they have to articulate, or provide a basis for determining definitions and boundaries of the alleged social group, establishes that exists independently from the persecution, and establishes the claim of membership did not involve past criminal activity, presence in a country with generalized violence or crime rate, being the center of recruitment of a terrorist organization, a gang, targeted for criminal activity for financial gain based upon rows, so they coming after you for extortion, interpersonal disputes with government, criminal acts of government authorities and relevant society we're not aware of. So basically making asylum almost impossible to get under a particular social group. Political opinion now defined by Congress, so that the person holds a political opinion to which they are subject to persecution, caused solely generalized by disapproval or disagreement with a criminal, terrorist, gang, or guerrilla organization. They redefine persecution and make persecution more difficult, which does not include non-enforcement of laws against the person. So that this is, you know, it's a good thing this will never become law because this is insane. basically, you understand asylum was created because of World War II and the extermination camps created by Germany against Jewish and other minority groups. This basically says, yeah, Germany could have done that. That's okay. No, they could do that. So it redefines reform resettlement. This is a wish list of FAIR. This is FAIR's wish list through here. More penalties for frivolous asylum claims, making frivolous asylum claims more broad. So this is crazy time. All right. Inspection of applicants for admission. So they redefine admission a little bit, redefine detention, redefine return to contiguous territory, mandatory detention. Let's see, you've got, yeah, this is a bill that if it became law, would not solve the problem at the border, but would make everybody's life a lot more difficult inside the United States. All right, preventing uncontrolled flights of migration. It authorizes the Secretary of State to negotiate treaties with U.S., Honduras, Salvador, and Guatemala, which, of course, they don't need Congress's authorization to do that. Congress just has to approve the treaties. And yesterday, of course, AMLO agreed to take what we send back after Title 42 goes away. Mandatory briefings on U.S. efforts to address the border crisis. All right. Termination of mandatory. Okay. Ensuring family unity at the border, which means family detention. Shall maintain the care and custody of people in custody as families. It is a sense of Congress that the amendments of this section of the Wilbur-Woodruff Force Act are intended to satisfy the requirements of the settlement agreement of Flores. All right. right. Preemption of state licensing requirements. Licenses don't have to be gun free. So basically, you can open up, you can buy an old Kmart and put fencing in there, and that's your jail for families. Congress has some findings on TIFPIC, which is the trafficking of kids and humans to the United States. The Biden administration has lost contact with 85,000 accompanied children. That's literally not true. Let's see. They cite to the New York Times, which apparently is a credible source. Let's see. Lots of findings of Congress there. Oh, repatriate unaccompanied children, send them back to their home country. That's what Congress wants them to do. And visa overstays now become a crime. Visa overstays are not currently a crime. That is a fine of $50, not more than $250. So let's see. So violated for 10 days. So you are now going to be fined under Title 18 of Criminal Code. Immigration parole reform. This bar, basically, this is trying to get rid of Section 212D5 and basically takes away from the president his right to parole groups of people, which he currently has. Trying to get rid of what Congress and what Biden has done to fix the current problem. So that's all gone. You've got the Legal Workforce Act, which makes E-Verify kind of the law of the land. It goes through identity documents, does not in any way increase legal immigration in the United States. So basically, it doesn't fix anything. But it certainly makes employers a lot more liable. I don't think this passes the Chamber of Commerce muster, passes their muster. So there you have it. You've got Congress going ape crazy on H.R. 2. Which may pass Congress. I'm not sure it'll pass at the House. It may not pass the House. It has zero chance in the Senate of passing. And certainly Biden's not going to sign it. So it's never become law. Appreciate Congress acting up on this. Good to see them doing some work. But at the end of the day, it's not really anything that is going to impact the law. We'll be back next week. Next Wednesday, we'll upload a new show. We're going to get back to doing our weekly shows on the Immigration Hour. We'll get some guests in here. And have a lot of fun. Till next week, this is Chuck Cook here on the Immigration Hour, Cook Baxter.